other than God. And a lot of conservative Christians are very nervous and confused about how to discern the will of God in prayer. So how do we discern the will of God? If we're supposed to be asking according to the will of God, how do we know what the will of God is anyhow? And there's great confusion here. So let me give you three things that you can be confident about the will of God. Number one, God's commandments are His will. God's commandments are His will. And God empowers His people to fulfill His imperatives. Let me just say this, that living under the control of the Holy Spirit is the will of God. Ephesians 5, don't get drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not ignorant of what the will of God is, because we know the will of God is to be filled, not with wine, but to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So if being filled with the Holy Spirit is the will of God, you can pray with confidence and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Get emptied of the unholy spirit by confession, then ask God to fill you, and you can ask with confidence because it's the will of God. Second, moral purity is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. You can pray with confidence for moral protection. You can pray with confidence for moral purity. God can help us. Giving thanks is the will of God. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So couch every request with thanksgiving. Go ahead and thank God ahead of time. Don't wait for the answer. Just go ahead and thank Him for the answer before you can see it. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You can always pray with gratitude and thanking God, knowing you're praying in the will of God. Now, we can pray confidently about the leading of the Spirit of God. We can pray with confidence concerning moral protection and purity. We can pray and thank God in advance, because this is the will of God that we ask with thanksgiving. So God's commandments are His will. But let me give you a second thing. God's promises are His will. God's promises are His will. Our text says if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. It's always safe to pray according to the Word of God. Now look at verse 15 of 1 John chapter 5, verse 15. And if we know He hears us. All right, now if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. If we know He hears us, then listen to this. Whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions we desired of Him. Now, look at this. If we know He hears us, then we know whatever we ask, we have those petitions, those requests are granted. Now, scores of Christians believe that God can do stuff. Very few Christians believe that God will do stuff. Now, if you know God hears you, and your praying is in alignment with His will, His commandments, and His promises, then you know you possess what you've requested. Now, prayer can turn a promise into a prophecy. Prayer can turn a promise into a prophecy. Promises are the will of God. Why do you think He gave them to us? Consider this one. Jesus said, ask and it shall be. Seek and you shall. Knock and it shall be. Everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and he that knocks it shall be opened. Now, God's promises are His will, and God wants us to ask in faith. Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, whatever you want when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We need to quit explaining away the explicit promises in the Word of God. And so many churches, the faith has just been reduced to an exercise in rationalism. It's just simple cause and effect. It's just a giant theological puzzle. There's an ounce of faith to be found anywhere. And I want to say, some people fear that asking in confidence is presuming on God. The president of a Christian university said to me after my message, he said, Harold, when you get to talking about faith, when you preach on faith, all the professors get nervous. When you preach on faith... all the professors get nervous. Wouldn't it be better off if the professors got more nervous about their unbelief than about faith? One guy went to a fundamentalist seminary. He said, Harold, I graduated with more questions, more reasons to believe that God didn't answer prayer than reasons that God did answer prayer. bastions of unbelief. I mean, for crying out loud. Now let me say a few things, a little balance here. There's always balance here, right? There's scriptures here. There's scriptures here. You don't cherry pick the ones that suit your outlook. You got to take both of them, right? So prayer is not man imposing his will in heaven. Prayer is not me commanding God, but prayer is the means that God uses to implement his will on the earth. Jesus said, pray this way, Lord, pray, hallowed be your name, magnified, exalted, glorified, be your name, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, may your reign be extended, may your authority, your kingship, your kingly rule be extended into the earth. Lord, let your kingdom come in my life, my heart, my family, my home, my church, my country, my mission field. Lord, your kingdom come. And then he taught us to pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So listen, the will of God is not automatic. A lot of people believe the will of God is always done. How crazy is this? A man leaves his wife and, well, that was the will of God. It wasn't the will of God, for crying out loud. And when people's theology turn a God into the author of sin, they are blaspheming the holiness of God. And I don't believe it for a minute. I just tell you that right now. I don't apologize for that. I'm sick of this over-the-top sovereignty. Well, it's the will of God. No. When a man runs off with somebody else's wife, he isn't doing the will of God. He's violating the will of God. Are y'all with me on this right here?
Amen.
So listen, the will of God's not automatic. You've got to pray the will of God into existence. That's why we have partnership with God to implement the will of God through prayer. And Jesus taught the disciples to pray for the outworking of the will of God on earth. Now listen, prayer brings the future into the present. God's got a will in heaven. God's got a burden in heaven. God has a desire in heaven. And prayer brings the future into the present. Thy kingdom come. Now the will of God is not always intuitive. It's not always like we know, because we're confused a lot of times. And some people are so reluctant to pray for God to rescue somebody that it might violate the will of God. Some people are afraid the non-elect might get converted, for crying out loud. I mean, they have all of these irrational fears. And can I just say that the will of God's not always intuitive, though. Jesus prayed all night before he chose his disciples. So what is prayer? It's where man discovers the mind of God. It's where man receives instructions from God. Brother Needham's son has a big assignment, sounds like to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like somebody that wants to pull off an exploit in Jesus' name by Jesus' power. So prayer changes things, and we receive instructions in the place of prayer. Now, praying in faith is the will of God. Can we agree on that? Okay. Praying in faith is the will of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we possess the things we desired of him. So the commands of God, the promises of God, and your sanctified desires are the way to discern the will of God. I said your sanctified desires. Now look, your old nature, your old heart is never to be trusted. But you are not the old nature. You are not the old Adam. You are not the old man. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've been made a partaker of the divine nature. You got a new name, a new nature, a new record. Glory be to God. So listen to your sanctified heart. Now listen, you are not your flesh. The flesh is in you, but you're not in the flesh, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. So listen to your sanctified desires. Now, spirit-filled people have spirit-born, spirit-birthed desires. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. When you fill with the Holy Spirit, what you want is what God wants. I just happen to believe that. Now, when your desires are born and spring from the desires of God, you can ask with confidence. Now, it says in Hebrews that without faith, it's pretty hard to please God. Without faith, it's difficult. No, without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So faith is an essential component to prayer. There's no merit to praying non-faith-based prayers. In fact, it's sinful praying. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. So if we're going to approach God, we got to believe that God is. It's the faith protocol. And we have to believe that God is a rewarder. So let me give you three simple basic concepts about confident praying. Three simple concepts about praying in faith. Concept number one, faith reaches up to God. Say that out loud. Faith reaches up to God. But unbelief never gets its hands out of its pockets. Faith reaches up to God. Oh, but unbelief never removes its hands from its pockets. A reach is the evidence of desire. Pursuit is the proof of desire. I mean, the stuff you're seeking is what you're wanting. You know, it's 10 o'clock at night, and there you are, standing in front of the refrigerator, and you're curious, so you open the door, and what do? You reach. And why? Because reach is the evidence of desire. Reach is the proof of desire. Now, remember that woman with an issue of blood for 12 years? Spent all she had on physicians. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Faith somehow rose up in her heart, Brother Grabtree. This is amazing. And she elbowed her way through that crowd. I'm telling you, a great press of people. Her desperation caused her to reach. And her need motivated her to push through to Christ. It was her desire to get better that drove her to pursue the Lord. Her faith compelled her to get to the hem of Jesus' garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew something had happened. And Jesus turned around and said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Jesus commended her for her faith.
Amen.
He didn't rebuke her for presuming on the goodness of God. No, he didn't chastise her. He commended her, and her faith was rewarded. She was healed. Her desire to be made well caused her to reach out to Jesus. Faith reaches up to God. Listen to me. The woman with the issue of blood would never have gotten healed had she not reached out to Jesus. Would you go along with that right there? Now I want to ask you tonight, what are you reaching for? What are you reaching for? I mean, really, in your life, in this season, what are you reaching for? Now listen, Thomas was overcome with unbelief. Remember old Thomas? Doubter. Church member. A prototype of a modern church member. Full of unbelief. That was a joke. Now John 10, 20, verse 27. Jesus said to Thomas, reach hither your finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither your hand into my side. Thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Jesus told Thomas to reach, to touch those nail-pierced hands, to put his hand into the side, to see this thing is real. I'm here, you know, I'm resurrected. Now let me tell you something. When you're doubting, you should reach. You got to learn to doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs instead of believing your doubts and doubting your beliefs. You got to get this right. And reach is the evidence of faith. So if you're doubting, and by the way, most of God's people go through seasons where they have an eclipse of faith. I mean, they just have an eclipse of faith and all kinds of things coming in and what's going on. What about all this suffering anyhow? What about all this tragedy? What about all that? Get thinking about all this kind of stuff, hearing all this stuff. We live in a culture of unbelief. I don't have to tell you that. So when you're doubting, you can reach up to heaven. Listen, if you're sick, you can reach.
Amen.
We're reaching for you, brother. We're reaching. We're reaching, brother. We're believing with you. Amen. If you're hurting, you can reach. If you're tempted, you can reach. You ever get tempted? Like, what about these seasons of temptation that seem to be so overwhelming? What is this? Reach. If you're tempted, man, reach. If you're struggling, reach. Reach. Don't think that you're the only person that's ever had a dry spell. Everybody has dry spells. The only people that don't have dry spells are people that are in the insane asylum. They smile all the time. but if you're struggling, you can. If you're overwhelmed, you can reach. Now follow this. Solomon reached his hands up to heaven on three occasions in the Bible at least. Listen to this, 1 Kings 18. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel. He was in front of everybody. And he spread forth his hands toward heaven. What was he doing? He was reaching. 1 Kings chapter 8. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying, all his prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. What was he doing? He was reaching. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Solomon had made a brazen scaffold, and upon it he stood. He got up on the scaffold, and he stood and he knelt down upon his knees before the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands toward heaven. Amen. Faith reaches up to heaven. Now listen, 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said, I will therefore that men everywhere pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I've had some Baptists tell me that's metaphorical. Yeah? Well, is the part about modesty metaphorical that comes right after that? I mean, get off of it. Get off of it. Just because your religious tradition is all stove up and, you know, you need an energy boost in your worship, sir. I will that every man lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So faith reaches up to God. That's what faith is. It reaches up to God. If we know we're praying according to his will, he hears us. And we know he hears us. We know we have the petitions we desired of him. So faith reaches up to God. Everybody good? Yes. Too far over the top so far? Not far enough? Point two, faith cries out to God. All right, faith reaches up to God. Faith cries out to God, but unbelief remains silent. Faith cries out to God, but unbelief keeps silent. Mark 10, blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the highway begging. And Bartimaeus, he knew something was going on. There was an atmospheric change. Jesus was passing by. He knew in his heart something was going on. So old Bartimaeus, he called out and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what the people said? Shh. This is a holy service, man. We don't do that around here. Shh. Be quiet. But he cried out the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they were telling him to knock it off. And he kept on getting even louder. Can I say something to you? Desperate people are not worried about being dignified. Amen. You let somebody in your family get cancer, you might have a little faith be generated in your heart and quit trying to explain everything away. I was up in Michigan, near Calvin College. Iceberg. And I was preaching in this proper, half-British, reserved, stoic, regimented, puritanical. You got the picture? It was a tight bunch, brother. It was a tight bunch. It was Michigan, all right? And there was a Jamaican girl in the congregation. She had been raped. She had had an abortion. She was a foster child. She had had all kinds of abuse. And in the middle of that dignified service, that Jamaican girl cried out and said, at the top of her voice, I want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Desperate people don't worry about being dignified. Never mind these whitey-tighties. She just went ahead and called out to God, brother. I'm just telling you. And faith calls out to God. It cries out to God. Now listen to this. Bartimaeus was called over by Jesus, and Jesus said, what do you want? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You know what Jesus said? Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight. Faith cries out to God. Oh, Bartimaeus had a desire to be healed. He wanted to be cured. So he called out to the Lord. And faith calls out to God. If Bartimaeus had kept quiet, he never would have regained his sight. If the woman with the issue of blood had not reached, she would never have gotten healed. If Bartimaeus had not called, he never would have got cured. Now, listen to this. In Genesis chapter 4, I mean, after the fall, there was a silence. There was nobody corresponding with God. But in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jeremiah 33, God's phone number, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Calling is the evidence of faith. It's the evidence of faith. Faith cries out to God. Faith reaches up to God. Everybody good? All right. Number three, faith expects an answer from God. Faith expects an answer from God. So when you pray a big prayer, don't feel like you're obligated to put, if it be your will, on the end of it. Just quit all that. If it's a promise of God, bank on it. If it's a commandment of God, pray in confidence. If it's a sanctified desire, pray in confidence. Faith expects answers, but unbelief expects nothing. Faith expects answers. Unbelief expects nothing. You know, in Japan, they have something called a koi fish. You ever heard of this? K-O-I, a koi fish. It's a Japanese fish, and its growth is influenced by its environment. Now, they tell me the koi fish will never grow beyond its place of confinement. Its environment determines how big it gets. So if you put a koi fish in a fish bowl, it can grow up to 4 inches, but no more, up to 4 inches. If you put the koi fish in a small pond, it can grow up to 18 inches. You put the koi fish in a it can grow, no, you put it in a fish tank, it can grow up to 8 inches. Put it in a small pond, it can grow up to 18 inches, but put it in a big lake, it can grow up to 42 inches. So its environment influences its growth. It never grows beyond its environment. Every koi fish has the potential to grow to 42 inches, but some never exceed 4 inches. Can I say something to you? We are in an environment in our country, in the season of church history, where our faith could grow exponentially. I want to challenge you tonight to recognize the largeness of your present environment. I mean, look at our environment. Look at the paganism that has risen up. Look at the animosity. Look at the collectivist, the statist, the Marxist. Look, half the population is leaning in this direction. Look at this environment. Not to be mad at them, but to understand that God is not bothered by governmental systems. God is not upset with paganism as far as his work is concerned. The early church was born in a pagan hellhole of slavery to Rome, and the power of God came on those people. We're a large environment right here. And quit moaning about all this and quit trying to just get everything back the way it was. It ain't never going to be the way it was. But that is not our business, brother. Our main business is preaching the gospel to people and giving them the truth. Old Adam was on the sidewalk over at Wendy's. I just pulled up and began to talk to old Adam. And down on his luck, having some problems, having some issues, having some difficulties, having some addictions, Do you have any religious beliefs? Yes. Would you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, society tells me my stuff is wrong, but I think God's all right with what I'm doing. I said, well, it don't make any difference what you think, and frankly, it don't make any difference what I think, but what the Bible says, it makes some difference. And I wouldn't berating him, but I was trying to give him the truth. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing anyhow? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, patient, apt to teach. Amen. Peradventure, God would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now listen, I want to challenge you to start praying with exclamation points instead of question marks. Quit praying prayers of doubt. Quit praying prayers of unbelief. Quit it. If you can't ask in faith, don't. My friend Steve Rebert, a Bob Jones graduate, I do have some good friends. And he was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He had the bad one. They told him he had a 35% chance of survival only with treatment. No chance without it. That's what they told him. So he decided he wanted to have the prayer of faith. So he called in all his buds, and the guy that was supposed to lead it didn't show up, so it fell to me. So here we are. We got about 20-some people, pastors, missionaries, missionary directors, people in the church, godly people. So I just gave them a little challenge from James chapter 5. And I said, now listen, if you can't pray in faith, please don't. If you're unable to pray in faith, keep your mouth closed. Please, please don't pray unless you can pray in faith, because it's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. Now, don't come up here and argue to me and say, well, not everybody gets healed. Some people get healed. Amen. I personally think more would get healed if we would pray the prayer of faith instead of the prayer of doubt. So if you say, well, doesn't that discourage you when you pray over somebody and they don't get better? No, because, brother, you never know what God might do. And when you pray the prayer of faith, if they don't get healed here, they're healed ultimately there. And at least it wasn't your unbelief that missed the miracle if you pray the prayer of faith. That was really good right there. Now, stop praying prayers of doubt. Start praying prayers of faith. What do you need from God? Expect an answer from God. Now, faith expects an answer. Now, in Acts chapter 3, there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Remember this guy? Every day, this lame man was laid at the temple gate asking alms. And Peter and John came along, and he asked an alms of Peter and John. Now, listen to what the Bible says in Acts 3. This lame man was expecting to receive something of them. He was expecting to receive something of them. I said he was expecting to receive something of them. And old Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately he stood up and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now the lame man was expecting something from Peter and John. He wouldn't have laid at the temple day after day unless he was expecting something. So when we go to God, we need to be expecting answers for whatever it is we're praying according to the commandments of God, the promises of God, and the sanctified desires that God's put in our heart. Faith expects an answer from God. Unbelief expects absolutely nothing. Most prayer meetings are just an expose of unbelief. Most prayers for revival is asking God to override our disobedience and bless us anyhow. You know, I mean, I really think that. So I believe, like Richard Elaine said, that God usually answers us according to our expectations. So when you pray, expect. You know, we've been so conditioned with unbelief. Some of us have been taught the Laodicean church age theory. That God made them to be a bunch of half-baked, lukewarm deadbeats to give us a role model of how we all be acting prior to the return of Christ. How ridiculous is that? God told the Laodicean church, which was a literal church, just like the others were literal churches, he told them that they needed to, hey, just calm down, because I want you to be a prototype. I just want you to be a role model for the last days to show the Christians how they'd be half bunch of deadbeats. He didn't say that. What did he tell them? Repent! You know what he's telling us? Repent! How in the world did fundamental Christianity, which boasts of the highest view of the authority of Scripture, become the most unbelieving group as a whole on the planet? We're afraid to get out of the boat. We're afraid to pray big. We're afraid to expect big, because we're afraid we're going to be disappointed. Everybody here, you prayed a prayer, didn't get answered like the way you thought it was going to get answered. And if you don't watch it, it'll stumble you. I was in high school. We're having a revival meeting. Here I am with my one-way jacket on. I got my 71 yellow Pinto with a Jesus Save sticker on that thing. I got me a zip-up King James red letter Bible. I don't know much, but I'm full of zeal. And we got hold of that verse. If you ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us, man. Ask and you shall receive. Wow. So we banded together, a bunch of us young people, and we're asking God for 100 souls. I brought 27 people to church personally. Won a Scofield Bible. And we were asking God for 100 souls, and we believe we're going to have 100 souls. Now, as far as we know, nearly 30 made a profession, but we didn't get to 100. And you know what? That set me back. Set me back. For a while. Until I finally figured this out. That, hey, better to shoot the moon and get a third of them born again than believe nothing and have nothing happen in the first place. And I found out that just because you've had a disappointment in a prayer request somewhere along the line, don't let that hobble you from asking big things in the future. Now, God works according to our expectations, and the people who receive are the ones who believe. That's what Jesus said. Faith is confidence in God. Unbelief is confidence in something other than God. And sometimes you got to get up on your tiptoes and expect the impossible. You just got to get up on your tiptoes, man. You just got to get on the edge of the side of the road with the lame guy, and you got to expect something impossible from God.
Amen.
I was in Danville, Illinois. That's where Dick Van Dyke is from. I can see why he left. And we're at this First Baptist Church. Well, the pastor takes my wife and I over to Biagi's. Anybody ever heard of Biagi's? Italian restaurant, the best Italian restaurant on the planet. Went over to Champagne in Biagi's. I love Biagi's. And pastor took me to Wendy's, but this guy took me to Biagi's. And sorry, brother. Sorry, we know. Sorry, we know who values the evangelist. But anyhow, we're over at Biagi's, and the pastor, it's Paul Rebert. It's the guy's son. I told you about that. Had the prayer. By the way, the guy that we prayed the prayer of faith over, he's totally cancer free. Glory
Amen.
Be to God.
Amen.
So we're out to lunch with his son, and his son begins to tell us at Biagi's about his kidney stone attack. Not the most appetizing topic of conversation with marinara sauce there. So he goes into detail. Oh, man, what is he? I mean, people tell me all kinds of stuff. So he's telling us this whole story. So we finished our wonderful meal, despite the story, and walked outside of the door. And my wife and his wife had gone on to the car. But when we got outside the door, the pastor, he bent over in writhing, agonizing pain. Somehow I managed to get him out to the car. My wife looked behind the car, saw the pastor double over in pain, and she said to his wife, "I think your husband is sick." His wife didn't even look around and said, "He'll be all right." Now, listen, ladies. When your husband is ill, he needs sympathy. He needs pity. He's a wimp. Have a little mercy on the dude. He'll be all right. Oh, brother. Job's wife. And anyway, I got him in the passenger seat. I got in the driver's seat. Made off to the hospital where they had delivered the first kidney stone that we had heard all about. Got him in there. Would you believe he's having a kidney stone attack? Got him checked in. The doctor said, well, he'll be here for certainly 24 hours, but probably at least 48 hours. And so we got him checked in. We're there in his church at a prayer summit. A prayer summit. So we go back to church. Pastor's over in the hospital agonizing with a kidney stone. And I said to the people, I said, well, hey, this is a prayer summit. I think we ought to ask God and believe God let the pastor get delivered from this kidney stone and be here in the morning for Sunday school. I said, now, the doctor said it ain't going to happen, 24 or 48 hours. I said, how many of you think we ought to believe God and just ask God to let him pass the stone and be here tomorrow? They said, amen. So we prayed prayers of faith. Well, at 1 o'clock in the morning, he was at home in bed. He was he was as good as normal. And 9 o'clock the next morning, he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed right there in Sunday school, brother. Can I tell you something? That faith expects answers from prayer.
That's right.
Now, I probably told you this story. At the prayer, we have the ladies' prayer dance coming up here in a couple of weeks. We're supposed to have the ladies' prayer dance in March. And 4 days before it started, our governor shut the world down. So over 500 ladies were postponed. So we postponed it to September. So now we got about 200 out of the 500. And we're going for it. But we were at a ladies' prayer advance one time, and we were encouraged the ladies to pray impossible requests. With God, all things are possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible unto you. These verses, they're verses like that, okay? They're inspired. And they mean what they say. Nothing is impossible with God. So we got up and made a big deal out of it and challenged the ladies. Hey, we're going to pray impossible prayer requests. Things that are not probable, not even possible, but stuff that only God can do. Who has impossible requests? So we prayed impossible prayer requests. Now, one lady was there. Her impossible prayer request was for her mother. Her mother was from Philadelphia, and she needed a kidney transplant. And the doctors in Philadelphia said she was too old, and they wouldn't do it. But they found a doctor in Richmond, Virginia, who said, find a kidney and I'll do it. So where do you go looking for a kidney? Craigslist? Planned Parenthood? I mean, where do you go? I mean, what are you supposed to do? So her request was that God would provide her mother with a kidney without killing somebody in order to do it. That was her request. Well, that group prayed over that. When they went home, would you believe, two women in their church came up and told them, I believe that God wants me to give you my kidney, one of my kidneys, if it's a match. Not one, two. The first one was a match. So they went down to Richmond, donor, recipient, daughter, and the doctors swapped them out. So next year at the prayer advance, ladies' prayer advance, here's old Mama Carter. So Mama Carter is my adopted mother. She's my adopted mother. I know I like her. She is feisty, man. I'm telling you, she's not afraid to praise God. And Mama Carter's standing right here. The donor woman is standing right here. The daughter is standing right here, telling the story how that God has sustained her mother's life and provided a kidney. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. After a men's prayer advance, these men's prayer advances are not meetings. Praise God, they're advances. I mean, it's just like, I love it. I love it. And if you're the stage set that needs Rolaids, if anything gets excited, you should never come to this. You should never, you'll likely have a heart attack. But you'd probably get healed even if you did in that atmosphere. But anyhow, we were having a prayer event and God had spoken to us, and David Gibbs spoke on doing the impossible. Wow. So one pastor went home and got up on Sunday morning off the cuff and said, I'm asking God, they were doing church renovations. He said, I'm asking God to send in the total amount for the heating and air conditioning system from outside the church. He said, now some of you could write a check, but he said, I don't want you to write a check. He said, I want God to write the check, and I want him to write it from somebody outside of our church. Just got up with a statement like that. Came back to church that night with a check in his pocket for the entire amount for the heating and air conditioning system from somebody outside of the congregation. Nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
And I'm just telling you, faith expects answers from God. Now, I think it's time to unfreeze this asset of faith. This is the most critical asset in your Christian life, is your faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God's got to believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So confident praying is full of faith, and faith-filled prayer reaches up to God. It's okay to do that, you know. It reaches up to God, both inwardly and outwardly. It just reaches up to God. Faith calls out to God, and faith expects answers from God. Now, aren't you glad that this is the confidence that we have in him? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions we desired of him. Now, brother, I don't know what y'all's needs are. You might need a plane or something. But God is honored when we ask big. I know we've been off for 4 months. I know our income-producing events have been laid off. So what? God's got it covered here. Just ask big. Pray big. Believe big. Expect big. Reach up to God, because this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we possess the desires we have asked of him. So let's practice confident praying tonight. Faith reaches up to God. Faith calls out to God. And faith expects things from God. Now, Pastor Scott has already led us in one prayer of expectation. So I got a sneaking suspicion there's other needs here among us tonight. that we need to call out about, we need to reach up to heaven about, and we need to expect an answer from God about, okay? Anybody here tonight got some needs in your home, your heart or your home? Anybody like that? Anybody like that got some needs? Mm-hmm. Anybody know somebody that's got some needs? So let's call, let's reach, let's expect, and let's bind together in a little believing prayer, and then pastor will come and give us the next step. All right, just huddle up with somebody, have a little season of prayer over your needs or somebody that you know that you're burdened about, and let's just talk to the Lord about those things, okay?